Well, Suzanne and I have been talking about doing, like, we get together once a semester to talk about, like, what are our topics going to be for Mom Collective. And we've talked, friendship has been something that we've talked about doing probably every year. Mm-hmm. And we've never actually gotten around to doing it. Mm-hmm. So this is the year. And so we're just going to give reasons why that is. And I would say for me, like, as the pastor's wife, like, my passion is assimilation. I want to make sure that if you're new here, you're getting plugged in. You are making friends. And why? It's because, like, life's going to be hard sometimes. There's going to be a difficult diagnosis. There's going to be a miscarriage. There's going to be financial trouble, marriage trouble, you name it. Like, this life is hard. And, you know, your pastors can do so much for you, but we can't be, you know, the elders can't be everything for and meet everybody's needs. And so it's like you all need people in your lives that you can turn to when things get hard. When people come to us and they have marriage troubles or, you know, just whatever kind of things are going on, someone died in their family, they need love and care. My immediate thought is I start, like, what city group are they in? Like, who are they connected to? Are those people aware of what's going on so that they can love on them? So it's like you really, you know, we're a body. And that doesn't just mean we all show up on Sunday together and worship God and leave. It's like, no, we're actually, as we function well together, that happens in relationships. And the other thing is just that's how we grow. Like, I remember the first book club that we did a year ago. We read My Dear Hemlock by Tilly Delahaye, which is an excellent book. If you haven't read it, highly recommend it. But I remember Whitney was sharing something, and I don't have any clue what it was that she was talking about. She was talking about somebody in her life in college that had spoken some truth into her life. And it was hard, and it was painful, but God used it in a huge way to grow her. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is how we grow as believers, when we love each other and we're willing to speak truth. But that doesn't happen unless you're intentional and you're building those relationships and letting people into your life to be able to speak that truth. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the big reasons why I want to talk about it.
Yeah, and I think when we were meeting, it's like, what do the women in our church need? And one thing, I used to be pastor's wife. I'm still his wife, but he's not a pastor anymore. But one thing I just consistently hear, even still, is just I don't have any friends. I feel like I don't have any friends. I feel like I can't connect. And I was hearing it from a lot of different people. And I'm like, you guys get together, you know? Like, everybody feels like this. And it's like a very common theme was I feel like basically, with lack of better words, like, I feel like they're better than me, and I feel like they're doing life right, especially with moms. Like, I feel like they're raising their kids really well, and I'm struggling here. And what everyone was telling me is, I'm struggling, I need someone. And I think that's one of the things that is probably on your handout. If no one initiates, if everyone's waiting for someone else to initiate, then no one's going to initiate with other people. And so that was something I just kept seeing. And another thing was I used to come, I mean, we've been at CTK for 12 years, I think, now. And when I first came, I'd walk into a room like this or at a women's night or something, and I would just, like, sit somewhere and hope someone would talk to me, and then I'd go home and tell Eric, like, nobody talked to me, and he'd say, did you talk to them? And I'm like, well, no, but they should talk to me because I'm the new person, or I'm the one that's singled out, you know, somehow. And I felt like nobody liked me, and I felt like I couldn't connect, and nobody made me feel that way. It was just internal. And so there was this one girl I was talking to once, and she said she felt very similar. I feel like nobody likes me. And I'm like, but that can't be. I look at her and I'm like, you're great. Maybe that's the same thing with me. Like, maybe people do like me and do want to talk to me. If you feel that way, maybe that's the same thing for me. So I think that's just one thing I've seen with the women here, is that, and in our city groups too, like, the men they go away. And I don't know if it's the same for every city group, but it's been the same for multiple city groups I've been a part of. It's like the men connect and the women are like, why can't we connect like the men connect? And they text each other throughout the week. And I think there's some challenges that make that kind of the case. Like, I think that is kind of it's harder for us in a lot of ways. But yeah, I mean, we can talk about what makes friendship more challenging and stuff, but that's kind of why I think I brought it up at the meeting that we were having. Just like, I think this is a need for our ladies because I hear it all the time. So.
So then we just decided to kind of come up with what are some of those common lies that we hear when we're talking to women and just talk through those. And that first one is that people won't like me if they make different choices than me, or the reverse. Like, I don't want to be friends with people who do things differently. And I think that for women, like, I think that's why, like, maybe guys can connect easier. I feel like there's so many things that women can divide over. It's like, do you have kids? Do you not have kids? Do you home birth? Do you birth in a hospital? Are you crunchy? Are you not crunchy? Do you homeschool? I mean, like, you can just go on and on and on. And I feel like dudes are like, we're all Christians. And it's just easier for them. But I feel like, you know, we just, as women, tend to do that. We're comparing ourselves to each other all of the time. And that's just something that we really need to fight against. And so I think, you know, just a word of caution. I think there's a lot of people that have strong opinions about lots of stuff, and that is so awesome, totally fine. But I think just be careful, like, especially if you're posting in the Signal chat or whatever, just to be mindful that there's other people that might not do things the way that you do it. And that in those cases, sometimes that makes, and again, they're responsible for themselves, but it might make them feel like, do I really fit here? If I, you know, don't do this natural thing or whatever, I don't homeschool. And I think we've been growing a lot as a church. And I think I've also been noticing that some of the people that have been coming around are older, and they maybe already raised their kids. And I think they've already done that. But then if they hear, well, this, you know, we can only homeschool our kids, and then they feel like, oh, well, people must, they're gonna think less of me because I didn't do that with my kids. And so again, we need to be cautious about how we hold our views that aren't the gospel in a way that's charitable. But also, if you tend to be one of those people who feels less than, understand that probably a lot of that is you and not the person that has an idea that's different from you. I think for me, you know, like my youngest kid is 15. So it's easier for me to be like, okay, well, I had epidurals for all four of my kids. And, you know, like, a lot of people do home births, and like, that, it doesn't bother me. Like, I don't feel like less than because I made a different choice. But I think if my kids were really little, that would be more of a temptation for me. And so, yeah, like, those are, I think sometimes people exclude their friends. It's like, well, they do things different, so they're probably not gonna like me, or they're gonna judge me. We gotta realize that's a lie. We can be friends with people who choose differently than us.
Yeah, and I think, like, one thing I'll tell people is, you know, they'll come to me and be like, I don't think these people like me because of A, B, and C. And I think they judge me because of this. And I'm like, I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm like, I can't guarantee you that no one's judging you. Like, I just can't guarantee that. But it's probably not happening. And if it is, that's that person's problem, you know? So I think that just encourages me to be more vulnerable. Just knowing, like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to tell, like, I had C-sections with all mine. And I felt really bad about that for a long time. I felt like I wasn't, like, a good enough woman. My body wasn't working right, all these things. And, you know, being around women who are, like, rock stars. And, like, my mom had me at home, so I'm like, that was my standard, you know. And, like, it was hurtful that I didn't get to do that. And then having people, like, I mean, there's just people who say things, you know, like, that's the other thing I learned. See, I'm going to go down this rabbit trail. But, like, that's the other thing I learned is that I say things that are stupid sometimes, A, and B, that I just don't mean in a negative way, but I could see how it could be taken the wrong way. So I've learned to be more charitable when listening to other people. When there's been loss in my life and people are like, well, at least you have this, you know, that's like a no-no. But to me, you know, when I had a miscarriage, and it's like, well, at least you already have a kid. That's like, we all know that we shouldn't say that, or like most people know you shouldn't say that. But I learned to just take those things as like, they're trying to comfort me. And that means a lot. So all that to say that I don't remember. What was I saying? just being charitable, and people might judge you. And they would be wrong for that in a lot of cases, you know, depending on what it is. But at least to think less of you. Yeah. So.
And I think in general, you are thinking about yourself way more than anybody else is. So if you think people are judging you, chances are they're probably not, because they're too busy thinking about themselves.
Yes. So. That was a good quote. I told you about it. This has got me through some hard times. There's this older lady at our old church, and she said, Suzanne, don't worry about what people are thinking, because they're not. And I was like, that's true. I'm not thinking. Like, that's probably true about other people, you know? So I tell my kids that, too.
So lie number two, friendship should look just like it did in a previous season. And so, I mean, I for those of you that went to college and lived on campus and you had that experience where you're just with people 24/7 and you don't have a lot of responsibility in your life and you can just hang out all the time and those friends are like people that, you know, you'll have forever. And then, you know, you move and you start new and you go somewhere and you don't know anybody. Like, it takes longer to get to know people. And that's okay. Like, it doesn't mean that they're not going to be just as good of friends. Like, things just take time. Mm-hmm. And you get married and then you might, you know, your spouse is your priority. You might not have as much time for friends then. You have little people. You get together and you can't string two sentences together because you're always having to correct them. Mm. Like, it's okay. It is okay to embrace, like, life is different in this season. It's not going to look exactly like it was.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any more really to add. I mean, I guess I didn't go to college, but I know after high school, it really hit me to where, like, I felt like it would just be a natural thing, and I think that comes up later. Yeah. But it went from, like, seeing my friends every day to, like, not seeing them, you know, and that it hit me really hard. And I think it does happen with a lot of people, a lot of women especially. It just feels really lonely, like when you get out of the rhythm of being able to see people every day and like having a schedule and things like that. So yeah, I think that's something. It looks different in different stages of life, and I think that's a good expectation to have, because if you have the expectation of like, this is going to be like this forever, it's just not realistic, and it's just not going to happen. So I think if we don't set ourselves up thinking, you know, expecting that, that's a good thing, and it's not as big of a letdown. So I think that's all I have to add for that.
Well, the third one, my friends have to be in my exact life stage. So thinking like, you know, like I can't have young single friends, or I can't have older friends, like, or those people don't count. Mm. Like, you may, you know, you may interact with them and you may spend time with them, but like, when you think about who are my friends, like, those people aren't the people that come to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have expectations. Again, I think it's a lot of expectations that, oh my goodness, like, again, with like friends from high school and stuff, I thought, okay, this person's gonna, we're gonna grow up, we're gonna have kids, and our kids are gonna play together, and she's gonna watch my kids, and I'm gonna watch her kids. And yeah, and I've come to the point where, well, it's kind of a flip. Like, when I was younger, I was the one that was doing these things. Like, I had a ton of people pouring into my life and being friends to me, but I didn't see it that way. And so, and now being older, it flips. And there's people that say things like that. I don't have any friends. And I'm like, I just took today off of like homeschooling my kids so I can come hang out with you and be your friend. And you're telling me you don't have any friends, you know? But yeah, it's just, I think it's the big key is like our expectations. And just making sure they're realistic and, yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think it's natural, like, to want to do, you know, like, newly married, wanting to hang out with people who are newly married. Like, you have some extra things in common. So it's like that might, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but just don't narrow your focus towards, like, the only people in this entire church that could possibly be my friend, mm-hmm. like, for Jackie or for Casey or for Veronica. It's like someone that's been married in the last year and a half. Like, those can be my friends. Like, I can't be friends with somebody who's already got some kids or who's still single, you know? Like, I think sometimes we just get in that spot where it's like, I need to have friends that look, that are just doing the same mm-hmm. thing that I'm doing.
Yeah, and I, the friend I was talking about, the lady from our church that had that wonderful quote, I used to refer to her, like, we had the same shirt. She's, like, 70 years old, and I was wearing the same shirt. I was like, hey, we're wearing the same shirt. And I, like, she was my friend, and I called her my friend, even though she was so much older, but we hung out. She cared for me. I cared for her. And I am so, I think that at our last church, I was in a place where I was like, okay, we're getting serious, long story, but, like, we're getting serious about the Lord, and I want to grow, and I want to have all these godly friends. So we're going into this church, and I'm going to make all these friends. And I was, it's just kind of sad looking back because I had my eyes set on these specific people and I just couldn't seem to break through into their group. Mm-hmm. And, but all the while, all these older ladies would come up to me after Bible studies, after we would do prayer requests, and they'd be like, I went through that too. They don't want to air their dirty laundry, so they wouldn't say it in the group, but they'd come and grab me afterwards and be like, I'm praying for you. Do you need me to bring you a meal? It was just like the sweetest thing. And I don't want anybody to not recognize that. Like, those can be some of the best friends, and you can learn a ton. And then younger people, that was great because Eric, especially when he did assimilation here, he got to know everybody. So he'd be like, yep, Friday night, somebody, you know, so-and-so's coming over. And most of the time it was like a young single guy. They had the capability of coming to our house, didn't have anything else tying them down. So for a long time, it was just like single guys coming over and hanging out. It was so fun. And like, I learned not only, I've come to realize that as I'm like talking with younger people, not only are they not as jaded as me, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's such a pure way to see something without being older and jaded, but also like, I have kids that are like, their age almost, you know, so I can like be reminded mm-hmm. of like how my kids might feel about this or in this culture, how they might be dealing with things, or I can ask them questions like, what do you think about this? And it can help me in my parenting. So I think it's just a good thing to have a spectrum of different age friends. Yeah.
All right. The next one, friendship should just happen naturally without any effort. And I think we all understand that that's not true, but I think we often just live like that's true, and we feel like if friends don't just fall into our lap, we get frustrated. And I know I was going to say it somewhere else, but like when Michael and I first got married, the church that we went to, there was this like group of people that we were like, oh, they seem like fun, we want to be friends with them, and we'd like try to get ourselves invited to go do stuff with these other couples. And it just seemed like it wasn't happening. And so like one Sunday after church, there was like this new couple and we're like, hey, you want to go grab lunch? And they were like, yes. And then like, they were so thankful that we had initiated, like we didn't know them at all. And we hung out with them like the entire day, like 8 hours or something. And we ended up having a group of friends of like, I don't know, eight people, like four different couples and a couple single dudes. And I mean, none of us had kids yet, so we had lots of free time. And so we would hang out Sunday from like after church to like 10 p.m. Like I'm old, so we would go to Blockbuster in our pajamas. We would rent movies. Like we spent all this time together. But had I just left it at like, we just really want to be friends with those people, those are going to be our friends, and not been open to asking somebody new, we had to put in the effort.
Yeah, I feel like this is a big one too, because it's a vicious cycle where it's like, so when I would come to stuff and feel like nobody talked to me or I felt isolated or whatever, that tends to make you not want to come to the next thing. And then it just gets worse and worse. And I was looking up stuff about friendship, and there was all these like statistics and everything. And it was like, it was the University of Kansas. So I don't know if we should just get in. I don't know anything about that. But it, according to their findings, it was like it takes 3 years of like consistent engagement to like make someone you would consider like a good friend. And then it takes 7 years, again, of like consistency to have somebody that you consider like a lifelong friend. That's a long time, especially when you have little kids and you can't be that consistent. So I think one of the biggest things, and I think we'll talk more about it later, is like you have to come to stuff and you have to reach out to people. You see somebody and you're like, I really hope that they talk to me. Just go talk to them. It requires effort. It requires humility, vulnerability. I'm super awkward. So when I go up and talk to people, I'm just like, Lord, use it. Whatever I said, like, I know it was awkward, but just use it somehow. But you do, it requires effort. But I think it pays off. It definitely just pays off in the end. And maybe it's not a love connection at first with this person. But and even the idea of a best friend, I think, is kind of like an unreal expectation, too. I've seen in my life that God has used so many different people for so many different things in my life. And I just want to be thankful for that and not be like, well, I want this person to come to my house or do, you know. Yeah, so.
I had something else to say. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was going to be. So, just move on to number five. I don't have time or energy. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I think a lot of times when you're new, you feel like everyone should initiate with you, but most people are new. Like, the church has grown a ton in the last couple of years. So if you're expecting someone else that's been here, like, oh, they probably still feel new too. And so I think that that is just something good to keep in mind. I mean, there's some of us that have been here forever, but that number is pretty small. So I'm like, I can look around the room and remember when a lot of you went through the new member class. So it's not been that long. So just try not to think about the fact that I'm new here. Therefore, everyone should initiate with me, mm-hmm. because if everyone felt that way, no one would talk to each other. So,
yes.
So yeah, number five, I don't have time or energy for friends right now. I think there's a lot of people that would probably say, yes, that's true of me. and I would say your capacity might be limited. You know, I think there's a lot of things, you know, like you may not have transportation, or you may have a bunch of little people at home or whatever. Like, your capacity may be limited, but that does not mean that you don't have time or energy for friends. You might need to get creative, but it's certainly, yeah, you're going to really regret if you just don't have any people in your world. I think you can speak to this because I feel like she would agree with
me. Amen. I found myself here more lately where it's like, it's not as much time as it is energy for me. And I'm not going to cry today. Like, there's just no way. But it's the energy. And it's like I talked about, you know, people being not jaded, and like, I've come to a place where I'm kind of like, people are so much work, but that is something I need to repent of, because I think I was telling, I don't remember, maybe I was telling you, you know, being Eric's wife while he was an elder, we went through a lot of stuff with COVID, and the vaccine, and social distancing, and should we shut the church down, and Black Lives Matter, and all the hot button issues, and they just kept coming and coming. And it was very hard for me to just remain, and God's still working on me. But I got to the point where I was just kind of, you know, and Eric was asked after his year sabbatical, like, do you want to come back? And I'm like, oh, no, you know? And we're both kind of feeling that way. And I was reading through, I think it's 2 Corinthians, maybe it's 1 Corinthians, And Paul said, I have been spent for you all, and that I'm happy for that. Like, I'm glad. And I was like, dang, that's so convicting. Like, we should be able to find a place and ask the Lord to give us a place where we are happy to be spent for each other. And I think that applies to friendship too, you know, like anything that is encouraging one, you know, encouraging someone else or building up a brother or sister in Christ is like, we should be happy to be spent. Yeah, I think that the past couple years I've just kind of been like, I don't really have time. It's really the energy part or like capacity for like, it's been hard. There's a lot of people that left our church. And so new people coming up, I'm like, I don't know anybody here now, but I'm afraid to talk to people because if I talk to them, then they're going to leave the church. Like, and then I'm going to be sad again. So just, you know, that's just, it's not right. But that's kind of where I had found myself. And then hardship did come. And I'm like, who am I going to talk to about this? And thankfully, like, if you were at the member meeting where I went up to the microphone for whatever reason, like, Laura is excellent at reaching out. I don't know how she does it all, but she's like, oh, yeah, new people. And I'm like, how did you talk to all those people? And she meets with people. Yeah, that's one of my shortcomings is like I internalize a lot of things. And so it takes people like coming and being like, hey, how are you? For me to be like, oh, I'm terrible. So, yeah, that's something that needs to be repented of because I don't have the energy not to have friends. I should look at it like that because friends are a gift. So,
yeah. Yeah, and just going back to the, I mean, if you would agree with that statement that I don't have time for energy for friends right now, I would just wonder, like, where are you with the Lord and what's going on in your heart? Because I feel like probably something is not quite right. And you may be hiding, you may be depressed. Like, there's probably something going on if you are not willing to engage in any of that. And you... I will just say, like, comparison is a really bad thing, when you know, that women tend to do. I mean, we're all guilty of it. I remember Nicole Featherstone. Nobody else is going to know her in here. But, like, she was just super outgoing, and she could just meet anyone. I would say, like, she could talk to a brick wall. And I was like, I wish that I was like that. I wish I could talk to anybody, even if they were super quiet and they were giving me nothing in response back. Like, what I would have, you know, but I'm like, you know what? That's not who God made me to be. And I'm like, really, I'm complaining against the Creator. Like, God, how you made me isn't good enough. Like, make me like that person. And I'm like, that goes back to the whole body, you know, where we are a body. And so we all have different giftings and we love in different ways. And so just that's one of those points later on, but like, you just need to be aware that someone else might love you in a different way. Like, I know you talked about Sarah Thomas in the, when you stood up at the member meeting, like, gifts is her love language. And so she'll send you some little gift in the mail that she, you know, like bath bombs, or like when I got my puppy a year ago, she like sent me a dog toy the day that showed up the day that I brought my puppy home. And so it's like, you know, Sarah may not she may not hug you every time that you walk in the door, you know, and you could be like, oh, well, she doesn't love me because she doesn't hug me or whatever. But I'm like, we all love in different ways and we all need different people to love each other, you know, in different seasons and in different ways. So yeah, so we've got some tips like how to be a good friend. And I think you've already heard us say a couple of times, to initiate. and that could take lots of different forms. That can be, you know, walking up to somebody on Sunday and starting a conversation. That can be texting someone like, hey, how can I be praying for you this week? That can be setting up like, hey, do you want to come over for a play date? You know, and depending on capacity, like if you have, maybe you have a standing play date. Or, you know, like, hey, the first, you know, whatever, once a month we're going to get together, we're going to go out to dinner, whatever. Because sometimes that makes it easier if you're both willing and that works well for you. I'm not trying to, I've been also on here, like, you don't want to expect things of people that are unrealistic, but like having those conversations, like, hey, like, would it be fun? You know, do you think it'd be feasible for us to get together maybe like once a month and do lunch? Mm-hmm. We did that for a while, yep. And then we did it.
Something happened.
Homeschooling happened. Homeschooling. But like if you make that decision one time, then that takes the pressure off of always having to remake that decision. So sometimes that can be helpful.
My family not initiating.
I just thought about Lily is very good at that. She'll text me. She texted me yesterday, like, yo, I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
Hey, yo. Yeah. And that, like, that means a ton to me. Like, and it's always when I'm, like, having a bad day or, like, when something's, like, really difficult, I'll get a text from somebody, mostly Lily, that's like, hey, I'm praying for you, you know. And it's just, it's so encouraging. So if that's feasible for you to send a text message to this person, it could just change their day, you know? So yeah, definitely initiate, because like I said, when we're all sitting there like, they didn't talk to me, then like everyone's doing that, unless it's like the random weirdo like Nicole, like who will be like bubbly and like come up to everybody. That's not most of us, I don't think. So yeah, I think just being uncomfortable for a minute and just going and saying, hey, I can't tell you how many times I've said, hey, are you new here? And they're like, I've been going here for 16 years. Like, sorry about that. But, you know, it's, yeah, put yourself out there, initiate. Everybody wants somebody to talk to them. So just, and I think that was one thing. I'm pretty sure that Wade Thomas posted something on Facebook like this, but I went and I searched and I couldn't, so I can't take credit for this like idea, but I could not find it. So maybe it's original, I don't know. Where is it? I don't remember. Okay, the Bible doesn't command us to be loved, but to love. And that, I heard it somewhere. And it was great because I'm like, I'm demanding for people to love me, but that's not a command of me. I can't command other people. God doesn't command that of me, to make you love me, but he does command me to love other people. So I think that's like the initiation, especially, you know, like put yourself out there and treat other people the way you want to be treated. You want to be initiated. You want people to talk to you. You want people to invite you to things. Just invite them. And again, I can't guarantee that people won't be like, oh, no. You know, like, I don't think anybody here would do that. But people are weird, you know? So sometimes that might happen. But try again, you know? And God probably closed that door for a reason. But, yeah.
And number two, don't keep score in your marriage or in your friendships. Like, I think, like, yeah. Who texted who last? Who was the last one to initiate? Who, you know, I think we can just get stuck in our head and be like, well, I'm always the one to initiate the text. They must not like me as much. And that kind of goes with number two. Don't be quick to take offense. Don't assume the worst and don't assume motive. I think it's so easy to misread a text message, to assume they don't like me, they're mad at me.
If somebody doesn't put an exclamation point, I'm like, they're mad. Or no punctuation, that's like the worst. If it's just skip me. It's just funny, like what we can do and what we can interpret things as. But, yeah. Sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had a text exchange with someone that went horribly off the rails a month or so ago. And my kids showed me a Key and Peele skit about misinterpreting text messages. And I'm like, it's so true. Like my heart and what I was intending to do was to encourage this person. Like, hey, way to go, we did blah, 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 blah. And this person took it as like, you're giving me rules to follow. You're telling me what I should and should not do. And so like, she's like all hurt and offended at me because she feels like I'm telling her what to do. And I was like, can you go back and read those text messages in the spirit in which I intended, which was to encourage you, like, hey, way to go. I see this positive thing in your life. And so I think it can be so easy to assume the worst, assume bad motives for people. Mm-hmm. And man, how much better off would we be if we just assumed They weren't trying to be passive aggressive. Like they, I'm terrible about responding to text messages. And I try to tell people that from the get-go. So I'm like, if you text me, it takes me 3 days to respond or I completely forget. It doesn't mean I don't love you. I promise. Like I got distracted and I have a hard time making decisions. So if you're asking me for a decision, it's really hard for me. So,
I think that's key to just don't like be charitable when you're reading their messages or when you're talking to them. Don't expect the worst. I mean, that's huge because I think especially if you have like a low self-esteem or low view of yourself, you're trying to prove to yourself like people don't like me. And so everything can be like taken as that. And that's not loving. And like 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love. And one of the characteristics of love is like believing all things. Believe that they're saying what they mean, you know? Like, so Eric's really good at that. But I'm not good at that. That's, I interpret everything through a lens of people are annoyed by me. I'm a burden to them. But that's not fair to them. And that makes me sad that Laura, you know, so I hear other people and I'm like, yeah, she probably didn't, you know, it's just being charitable with how you view people. And, again, how you would want to be treated. You want people to think highly of you. Think highly of other people, you know? So, yeah. I mean, Eric is like, if someone is like, Eric, I am mad at you. I hate you. He'd be like, fine. They're just having a bad day, you know? And then somebody doesn't put an exclamation point on their text to me, and I'm like, they hate me. Were we ever friends? So yeah, believing the best. I think that is so important in all different facets.
Yeah.
Especially in the body. Sorry.
So number four, point them back to Jesus. I'm like, this is what you want your friends to do for you. And, you know, like, obviously you need to reciprocate. Like, as believers, you don't want to be just, you know, if they come to you and they're telling you about all their problems, you know, like you don't want to be like, yeah, like that was horrible. It's like, no, you want to know your word, be able to point out the lies that they're believing, encourage them to believe truth, pray for them. You know, it's like, yeah, you don't want to be a friend like the world is a friend. And that means, you know, bringing it back to the gospel and yeah, pointing out sin when appropriate. But then it goes with, you know, the be vulnerable and ask, confess your own sin, kind of that all goes together. Like, you know, if you're in a small group, you know, we've all had that experience. It's like, oh, when somebody cries, it's a good small group. People are being vulnerable. Like someone has to be the one to take that risk. Like if you are wanting your relationships with someone to go deeper, then you need to be willing to share something hard. Not to say you won't ever get burned by that, because you know, we'll talk about hurts later on, but like if you need to be willing, if you want this godly friendship to happen, you've got to be willing to share what's going on. And for some of you, that might be really hard and really scary, but it's worth the risk.
I have no choice. Like, I'm just that person. And so, like, in any group I've ever been in, it's the first day we all met together. I'm, like, crying and sharing things. And I've been burned. I've shared too much at times, and people have come to bite me in the butt sometimes. But also, more times than not, I've had people come up and say, thank you for being honest about that. I feel the same way. So yeah, you can use caution. And what there used to be a term in like old Christendom, like in the 90s, where it was like safe people, I guess. Like you can be wise about what you share and when you share it. I might not tell in mixed company with our whole city group, like I had my period today and it was terrible, you know? Maybe you don't say that in front of a bunch of guys because they're just gonna be weirded out. But like, we can talk about that with the girls, and we're all like, yes, I totally get that. There's multiple times I'll share my prayer requests, and all the ladies in our group are like, I get that, I understand. So being vulnerable, but also like being understanding. I feel like if someone is vulnerable, Even if you don't understand that specific struggle, I feel like I've been in so much, I can at least find a category for if someone's sharing something, if something's difficult for someone. I understand that. I might not know exactly their situation or how it feels, but I know what it's like to be sad. I know what it's like to struggle. Just encouraging that, being like, thank you for sharing that, and relate as much as you can. And yeah, so I don't know. Confessing your own sin, did we touch on that?
I mean, I think that, yeah. I think being vulnerable and confessing your own sin go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So number 7, ask for feedback and accountability. And that can be scary. I think the feedback part, like, and it's on, you know, the how to make friends part too. But you can ask, you know, if there's an area you're insecure about, like, ask, like, is this true of me? Be willing to put that out there. Like, here's this thing that I'm really self-conscious about. Do you see this as true of me? Because I think a lot of times, you know, so much of what's going on is all in here, and a lot of it is lies. And unless we bring it out into the light, it just stays there. Mm-hmm. And like you said, when you share and people are like, thanks for sharing. I think that there's a lot of times, or there might be mm-hmm. something that you do that puts people off. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you want someone that you love to say something so that you can work on it? Mm-hmm. It's funny. My mom mm-hmm. is often an example of things done poorly, and actually she was part of Michael's example that he was thinking of when he was writing his sermon this past Sunday about, like, well, that's just how I am, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, if there is something, there's something that you do that turns people off or an area that you can grow in and work, you have so much time to grow and change. Like, and that's, as a body, like, that should be so exciting. Like, as we're progressing in sanctification, we can be growing in either skills or just whatever it is, but we have to be willing to ask for that feedback mm-hmm. and ask for accountability in areas where we're struggling to actually see victory and growth.
Yeah, I think that's a big, I've gone, you know, just early marriage was really difficult for us. And so we talked to many people, and a lot of it was just like, oh, tell me how you feel. Oh, validating my feelings, fine. Validate feelings, because sometimes we do feel, you know, it's very real how we feel. But I got to the point where I'm like, just tell me the truth. Like, am I a mess or not? Am I wrong in this or not? Because otherwise it's just a waste of time. I mean, honestly. And I think, especially with women, like, yes, I can validate someone and say, yes, I have felt like that. I totally understand that. This is why that's a lie. And that's been helpful. I mean, sometimes you bring it out to the light, like Laura said, and people are like, no, not at all. That's not you. And you can be like, okay, cool. And hopefully, like, believe them and grow from that. But then sometimes what I try to do, because sometimes people say things and I'm like super offended, but I'm like, okay, am I offended because they're wrong, or am I offended because am I offended because what they said was wrong, or am I offended because it hurts what they said because they're right? And so anytime anybody comes up with like a criticism, I have to like stop myself and be like, listen to what they're saying and consider it. They could be way off, but just consider it, because I'm blinded to my own sin and to my own faults. I think that's important, not just to take it and not get defensive right away.
Because whenever people have shared with me about someone that has spoken truth into their life, you can bet that it really hurt and it was painful, and they may have needed to step away for a while. But I know Michael talked about how when he was a student at Marshall, he was like a student leader, and all the staff were leaving, and they had to appoint someone to kind of be in charge of the campus the following year. And he assumed that it's going to be him, because he was like this leader. And they sat him down and they're like, we're not going to ask you to lead because you really have a big pride problem and you need to work on that. And, you know, we saw that man, you know, like, I don't know, 10 years after that happened. And he was just like, thank you. You know, like, thank you so much for loving me enough to speak hard words, to show me a problem that I didn't see so that I could grow. And so when someone shares something hard with you, you know, it can be hard to take in and it may wound you for a while and you might, you know, like, but that's, yeah, I put the better are, you know, the wounds from a friend than kisses from an enemy. And as believers, we should really believe that. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really love someone, you want to see them grow and you're willing to inflict that wound. Mm-hmm. For 8, I have asked them questions about their heart, their walk with Jesus, their marriage. Don't talk about yourself all the time. And I had a conversation with some, I've talked to lots of people about friendship in the last couple of weeks that we've been talking about this, and someone was just sharing, you know, like, I was never really taught to ask questions, and that's really hard for me. And, you know, like, these are skills we can improve on for the rest of our lives. But also, it makes me think of Michael's mom and how she, in her mind, if you want me to know, you're going to tell me. And it's nosy for me to ask questions. So she doesn't ask. And for us, we're like, well, if you love us, you'll ask questions. And so just understanding, like, people can come from different places. And so maybe if someone doesn't ask you questions, it might be not because they're totally self-centered and they're only thinking about themselves, but because they think that that's nosy. So it goes back to the, like, don't assume the worst. So sometimes it's like, hey, I need to, you know, work on that skill. But sometimes it's just, this was how I was raised. And I did say I was going to pick on the Williams family a little bit too. I think how you're raised does have a big, you know, part to play in how you engage with other people. So I grew up in a family that did no conflict. You just stick your head down and you pretend that the hard thing didn't happen and you never talk about it. And then the Williams family loves to debate. And so they can, like, sit down and have this big old discussion that, like, to me would feel like an argument. And nobody's upset. But that's fun for them. That's enjoyable. That's very common and normal for them. So then if you're friends with someone like that, but you're really conflict averse, that feels really scary. So just we're all different. And so sometimes we can be like, oh, well, they must not like me because they wanted to argue with me about this thing. Or, you know, like, we can judge each other in so many different ways. And if we would just understand, hey, we're coming from different places, we can still be friends in that.
Yeah, I am guilty of this, especially, like, early on my adult life. I had this really close friend, and one day I noticed, like, I don't know her favorite color. I don't know what she went to school for. I don't know anything about her because I talk about myself all the time. And I've noticed that, like, when I get nervous, I just talk. And this is another, like, Eric and I are totally different because he can just sit there, like, during sitting room. Leanna has been there at times where, like, it's just dead silent, and he loves it. He's completely content with it. And I'm, like, sitting there, like, somebody talk, please. I'm going to talk. I'm going to break the silence because this is so awkward. But I would, you know, talk with people, and I would just tell them, and I'd give them, like, a second to respond. They'd be uncomfortable, and I'm like, what are they thinking about? So I would just talk more and talk more. And it's embarrassing to think back on it now, but I'm like, that was not caring at all. I need to chill and just, like, be genuinely interested in this person. It's not all about me. And I give them more space and, like, time to talk and get a word in. But yeah, so I think that's, where are we? 8. So yeah, just asking questions and being genuinely interested. That's part of love.
Yeah. I don't remember saying this, but Michael's little sister will talk about how, I mean, it was like 20 years ago, that I gave her some advice because she can talk to a brick wall too.
You see.
And so, but I was like, hey, you need to ask people questions. Like, can you ask 3 questions when you talk to someone, because otherwise you could just talk about yourself all the time. And she's great and she's so fun and everybody loves her. And she was like, that was life changing for me to actually, you know, just like, oh, I should ask people questions. So something that's so small and practical, like, you just, again, when you ask for feedback that you might not even realize that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So number nine, pray for them. You know, when you're friends with someone, you know the hard stuff they're going through, and you can be there, and they can cry on your shoulder, but really, you know, you can't do anything for them. So you gotta, taking their needs before the Father is the biggest gift you can give your parents.
Yeah, so. And that seems maybe like a small thing, but I've just seen prayer work too many times to where just pray. Yeah. Like, and if that's been hard sometimes, because I've heard people say, even sometimes directly to me, like, I told you about this hard thing and you just said that you prayed for me. But what, you know, like, why didn't you do something? I'm like, prayer is so much bigger than we realize. And there's times that I've gone through where I'm like, people are like, I've been praying for you. I'm like, I can tell. Like, I mean, even with my pregnancy with Amelia, when we first came to CTK, the doctor said, you are not going to have this baby. Like, you're going to go home and you're going to have a miscarriage. And Amelia is 11 on Friday. So, I would not be surprised. I do believe, and I wouldn't be surprised if I get to heaven and God's like, yeah, the prayers of the people at church saved her life. Like, I heard those prayers. Pray for your friends. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I was pretty upset a few weeks back, and I texted a few ladies to pray for me, and it was amazing. Like, I felt such a big change in my emotions. And I'm like, I know people were praying. Like, I can feel it. Like, I feel so much better. So, number 10, I guess I kind of already talked about that. We all have different giftings and personalities. 11, examine your own expectations about friendship. Are they realistic both in your life and in your friend's life? Mm. So, like, for example, is it realistic to hang out weekly with the same person? And, you know, and I think Lily brought up some, like, good questions to consider. I mean, like, sometimes you might want to hang out weekly, but that other person, you know, they don't have that kind of margin. Like, friendship is messy. People are human. Like, there's going to be things that are going to not go well as you pursue this, you know, like, there may be some bumps in the road, but I would just encourage you to, like, really think about what do you think it means to be a friend? Who is, you know, like, if I consider someone a friend, I think they need to be this, 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 and this. Because a lot of times, even like with marriage, you don't know what your expectations are till you come in and someone's not meeting them. Mm-hmm. And I think the same is true with friendship. If you think, like, we need to hang out weekly, our spouses need to be best friends with each other, or things that are just like, man, that'd be great, but that doesn't mean, you know, is that actually realistic?
Yeah, I think a lot of things that we expect are not reasonable, and it's hard to know, yeah, like you said, until someone's not meeting them.
So number 12, examine your own past hurts with friendship and ask the Lord for healing. And I would say, I'm sure all of us have experienced hurt with friendship. It doesn't matter how old you are. Like, if you have lived on this planet, you have had pain with friendship. I know for Suzanne and I, you know, people that have been around the church for a while, we went through a messy split. Like, there's wounds there, you know, and being aware of what those are and what those, like, kind of trigger points are for you. Ask the Lord to heal you from those things. And it's also kind of going along with how to make friends, but just asking the Lord to heal you from whatever the things are, like, that make you insecure. Mm-hmm. I've noticed, as I've talked to just such a wide variety of women, that, you know, like, you may have some experience that's in your background that none of us have any clue about because we didn't know you back then, but it weighs heavily on how you view yourself, and you kind of bring that into every new relationship. You know, like, I had a friend that got pregnant in high school, you know, and it's like, nobody that meets her now that she's like a grandma, nobody cares. But it's like, that was like a pretty formative experience, feeling a lot of shame around something. And I think we all have things like that, that we're insecure about, or painful things that we've been through that color how we view other people. in our relationships. And so recognizing that and knowing that the Lord can heal those things.
Yeah, and we can't treat everybody like that person, you know, like the person who hurt you. I don't know. I feel like we don't talk about this enough, but like maybe we do. But friendship hurts are like very unique and very deep. I just remember feeling I had this best friend growing up, and one day she called me, or I called her, and I said, hey, like, we were supposed to hang out, but I just saw you get in the car with, like, my enemies, you know? And she lived right across the street. And she was just like, she was eating something. I remember specifically, like, her lips were snacking. She's like, I don't care. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And I was like, what? It just, like, rocked my world. And that was, like, completely different for me than, like, romantic relationships. Because I understand, like, if you, like, don't want to be in a romantic relationship anymore, that's hard and it's got its own struggles. But, like, you don't even want to be my friend. Like, you know, like, how do you just not want to be my friend anymore? So, I mean, that has made it, there's all kinds of things that play into it. I mean, even my mom is wonderful, but she's not touchy-feely. She's not words of affirmation. So the way that I, like, interact with other women is clunky and awkward. And I've had a lot of insecurity with that. But just giving people a chance and dealing with some of their faults, you know, maybe they're going to be clunky. Maybe they're not going to hug me or say they love me. Maybe they're not going to be able to hang out once a week, but like, that's okay. And just, taking in your life, like, who the Lord has put there and being thankful for it.
And we kind of touched on 13 already. Like, if you have trouble making friends, is there someone that loves you that you could ask for feedback? Your spouse or just another friend that you have, but just say, be willing to take that risk. I mean, there may be nothing, but if you know, be willing to do the work to find out if there's something going on that's keeping you from being a friend. And I would just say, like, if life has been hard for you, like, we can't just, you're not, just to remember you're not a victim, you know? Like, I think that when you come in and you just complain all the time and life is really hard, like, that is just hard. Like, I put a couple book references at the end. One of them was a book we read in the book club last month, last year, Learning Contentment. Mm. Just helps frame, like, where are we? Like, how do we deal with hard stuff? And so I think as we pursue healing from those hard things, my mom is still a victim. She still complains about, like, how she was mistreated by her parents who have been dead for, you know, like, 20 years. Like, I don't want to be 80 years old and complaining about the hard things that happened to me. I mean, they shape me for sure. Like, the hard things we go through shape us, but I don't want to be sitting there and wallowing at 80 years old about the hard things that I've been through. I want the Lord to heal me in that.
And kind of blaming, like, because I've fallen into that before, like, blaming my actions on those things. So yeah. I think, like, you can talk about it and you can, like, recognize it, but being like, this is why I am the way that I am, it's their fault. You have to grow. Like, you can't it's not an option to stay in that and to be a victim your whole life.
Yeah, and the boundaries book is another one that was super helpful for me, just because I think so often we can get upset with people for things that they had nothing to do with. Like, we didn't communicate expectations, like, about friendship. Like, I expect Nicole to text me back every time I text her, and she doesn't, and now my feelings are hurt. And I'm like, well, that was, like, I didn't communicate what I was expecting, and then I'm hurt when I don't get what I want. And I'm like, the boundaries book helped me be like, oh, so oftentimes when I'm hurt, it's like me. Mm-hmm. Me saying yes to something I should have said no to, and then I'm resentful to the person I said, you know, like, this is me and not other people. So I found that book really
Yeah, helpful. Me too. And I think, like, we don't even voice those expectations because we know they're kind of unreasonable, you know? Like, I don't respond to every text, but when somebody doesn't respond to me, I'm like, they don't like me. I think, like, voicing those, but also, like, checking them and being like, is this reasonable? Like, Nicole has a kid and she's pregnant, you know? Like, is she going to text me back right away? Let's see. I'll text you.
4 minutes.
Okay, we have 4 minutes. How to make friends in 4 minutes.
You've got a quote there.
Right here?
Yeah.
It's a long one. Is it on their sheet?
No.
Okay, so this is from C.F. Lewis in The Four Loves. I have not read this, but it was a good quote when I was looking up friendship quotes. In friendship, we think we have chosen our peers. In reality, a few years difference in the dates of our births, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, the accident of a topic being raised or not raised at a first meeting, any of these chances might have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to his disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," can truly say to every group of Christian friends, "Ye have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another." So I thought that was like God, he provides. Mm-hmm. So pray that he'll provide. He will provide, maybe not in ways that you think or want initially, but in retrospect, a lot of times that's something God lets you see a lot of times. Like, why these people at this time? I can look back and see why he placed certain people in my life and why some friendships didn't work out. And I'm like, thanks, Lord. And I think that helps going forward, knowing like God's faithful. He has always provided friends for me. And I think it's just a matter of like choosing to be content. And
And I think we hit on a lot of this while we were talking, but be open to new people. I think our church is great at talking to new people on Sundays. I think our church is in general a pretty friendly church, but and you don't have a room for an infinite amount of close friends. I mean, you know, that's true and realistic, and we can't be best friends with everybody, but just be aware, like just be open to new people. They may only be in your life for a season, you know, like, but just don't feel like, well, I'm good, I got my friends, like I'm not going to talk to any new people. Mm-hmm. Talked about learning skills to ask good questions. If there's things that you feel like hinder you in relationships, seek to get better at them. Mm-hmm. Already talked about asking the Lord to heal us. And then we just put a lot of different, like just the practical things. Get in a city group, attend the women's. I know there are so many, you know, like one house could not hold all the women in our church if they all came to a women's night. And I know there's a lot of people that are like, I don't like talking. I don't like small talk. I don't like initiating. Like, I don't like doing that stuff. It makes me die inside. I know there's lots of people that feel that way, but I'm like, you have to find ways to connect with other women. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means doing stuff that feels scary or maybe not your favorite to find those open doors. Maybe you're not going to be someone who's at women's night every month, but like you need to take advantage of some opportunities to get to know new people.
Right. I think our church is very intentional about having these different ministries and ways to get connected, not just because we think it's fun. It is fun a lot of times, but these are ways to get connected to people, to find help from people, to find friends, to get encouragement, to serve. Serving with other people. You know, like when you have a job, if you're working, like your coworkers, you get really close to them a lot of times because you're doing something together and you're talking and you're talking about life and you're working to accomplish a goal. And you're in the baby room with one other person.
Yeah.
Who are you going to talk to? You can talk to the babies, but they're not going to talk back. So like, I watch Evie in there sometimes and she's talking with whoever she's serving with. And I'm like, I love that because it's like a young woman. And I'm like, yes, glean wisdom. that's one thing I've noticed too, is a lot of the women that would talk to me about these things are like, well, I can't come to that because of this or that, or I don't want to come to that because I always just talk to the same people. And it's like, after that, like, you need that repetition to develop friendships with the same people. You have to keep talking to them. I think that's a big thing, is first step, you feel lonely, sign up to do something at church. I think that's the first step. The last one. Okay, so here's one thing that, and somebody mentioned this to me recently. It's a very practical tip that I just started doing. There's a couple things, actually. I'm just thinking of another one. If you want to get together with someone, text them or go up to them with your calendar open and say, can you get together on Friday? No? Okay, can you get together on Tuesday? Set it up right there. If you say, let's get together, it's just probably not going to happen. Have a date, a time, text it to them, say, does this work? Push it forward. That is a life changer, seriously. Hey, what are you doing Saturday? You know? And then also, what did I just think of? Another practical tip. It left me. I'll try to think of it as we close up. Yeah. So.